magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, May 3rd, 2018. The afterglow remains. Oh, I don't know if you enjoyed the National Day of Prayer being observed or celebrated yesterday. I had a number of radio spots throughout the day, all 30-second, one-minute or two-minuters, reminding everyone the importance of prayer, the uniqueness that we can go before an almighty, sovereign God and talk to him. And we had English conversation class yesterday where we talked about the National Day of Prayer. In fact, Kirk Bobson, one of our board members, like a day out of our lesson, he said, Mark, it's the National Day of Prayer on Thursday. Might you address that? And I'm like, well, we were going to do gardening part two. But I said, yeah, that seems like it would be a good one, a good theme. And so he and Nancy Miller and I think somebody else put together an outline and then had questions. And I added a few words. But anyways, it became a very interesting topic yesterday. As I told all the teachers, I said, don't proselytize, but let the conversation kind of flow towards opening up about what is prayer, who do you pray for, have you tried to pray before, and so we had another number of prayer words. In fact, I have it right here that we talked about, the National Day of Prayer, but none of them had heard about fasting before, and so we talked about like a 24-hour fast and what it means to fast and why you fast and how that helps raise your awareness to maybe a theme that you're praying over. And we talked about the Lord's Prayer and thy will be done. They were really intrigued, the word thy. And I said, well, that's kind of like a King James rendering, but it's God's will when we surrender and say, okay, allow your will to be done. And they were really intrigued. We had good conversations about what it means to surrender and submit and trust that God is a good God, and that when we say thy will be done, we're really saying we're going to trust in your judgment and your results. And talked about repentance, and they're like, well, what is repentance? And so, I mean, we, you know, generally we talk about
Christians who would ask that question.
Yeah, that's right. Well, and we talked a lot about having a relationship with God because prayer is communicating with him. But I said, you know, there are examples of other religions, but the Judeo-Christian concept is that God listens, God cares, God loves, that he responds. He's not to be like just feared and obeyed, that he's very personal and caring. And so they were really intrigued, and I said, now say you're a seeker. And so I gave some what I thought were pretty good examples. I said, so if you're a seeker and say you don't believe that there's a God, I said, there's different ways of just saying, you know, God, I don't know, Mark's talking a lot that you exist, that you care, that you're out there, that you're sovereign and all-knowing. Could you reveal yourself to me? You know, that would, and so I was trying to say and share with them, like, that might be a way of praying. And then I said, for those that follow God and know the Lord Jesus Christ, I mean, they may pray very specifically for an individual, for a situation. So, I don't know. I'm still pretty pumped over what went on and the seeds that were planted. Mm-hmm. And I guess I share that with our Great News Radio listeners or those that maybe are tuned in for the first time for two purposes. You know, pray up what was conveyed and discussed and shared, as we as followers of Jesus always look at seeds being planted and hope that God will nurture and cause some of those people to seek him and seek him out and get to know him. And for maybe somebody tuned in over this whole concept of prayer, I know I just asked you maybe a minute before we got into this program.
It's not new. Like, yeah. It's not like a new way that you do things.
Yeah, like I said,
it was not odd. I'm used to it.
Let's talk about prayer. So there might be somebody that's seeking or questioning prayer, or what's the intent of the Lord's Prayer, or that famous one that we always talk about during the National Day of Prayer, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray.
Second Chronicles. I think prayer is just really simply put, you know, listen, when you first come to faith, one of the first verses you ever hear, we teach it to our kids in Awana, we teach it all over the place, you know, for God so loved the world. Mm-hmm. You know, the impetus or the movement of God to come into the world in the person of Jesus Christ is his love, his revelation of himself to us. Is his love to bring us into relationship with him, because he loves us. And when you love somebody, it's only natural that you want to talk with them and you want to listen to them. And so it's not a one-way street. Most loving relationships are not kind of a one-way dictatorial, mm-hmm. kind of like this, do, blah, blah, blah. They're give and take. You know, they're listening to one another. And in prayer, that's what we practice, don't we? As we practice petitioning, asking, seeking, knocking, and listening, mm-hmm. waiting, Jesus says. And so prayer is our response to God's love. It's more than that. I mean, that's a very simplified answer. But prayer is our response to God's love. We should want to talk to our Heavenly Father. We should want to know more about Him, want to feel more of His presence, want to seek more of His heart. And in the same way, asking Him to reveal more of Himself to us in newer and greater ways, to feel His presence more and more, to bring before Him the things that we are maybe ashamed of or we're guilty of, the things that we're celebrating, the things that we're struggling with, maybe even all of those things at one time. I had a guy the other day who asked me for prayer, and I said, what do you need prayer for? And he said, man, I'm having a really good week. And I'm concerned that my pride's going to well up and I'm going to move away from God because whenever I have a good week, I don't pursue Him. And so, you know, it's understanding that in prayer we get to speak to God and He listens. And the Bible is chock full of all these examples where somebody prays and God comes and answers. You know, God hears those prayers. It's not static. It's not words that we say nowhere. And listen, I think prayer is very important. You mentioned folks of other faiths and that kind of things. I've never had an atheist person. I've never had an unbelieving person. I've never even had a person of another religion balk when I say I will pray for him. Almost universally, everybody believes that prayer is good. Now, for some people, they don't understand it. Maybe they think that prayer is simply encouraging words that you speak over them or to them. For some people, you know, they can't understand the fullness of that. But listen, prayer is petitioning on behalf of other people. And nobody doesn't not want that. I mean, if you're struggling with something, if you're going through something, you want on a very deep level to know that other people care. And what's the most, what shows caring more than when you put your hand on somebody and you speak words over them, you enter into their situation. Now, for that person, if they're an unbeliever or that's what they think you're doing. But for those of us who are the Christian, we understand that what we're actually doing is speaking those words up and to an almighty God who hears and listens. Yeah. Again, the Bible, a track record of Him hearing and listening. That's why, you know, a lot of people give Paul a hard time. They say, you know, well, were you just going a little crazy? Were you a little charismatic in the moment when you're like, pray without ceasing? Because who can pray without ceasing? Mm. I think what Paul is really saying is Paul's saying if you understand the absolute power of prayer, you'll not want to stop praying. You'll not want to stop praying. And look upon Paul's life and see the miraculous things that happened. And I believe the prayers that were accompanying those miraculous things that were happening as Paul was seeking God and God was seeking Paul. And you have kind of this thing that's happening and Paul's praying to Him and God's answering those prayers. And I think that if you were to go back and look at all the times that you prayed and all the times that God answered, you probably would be pretty shocked. But we as Christians, and I think just as people, I don't want to pick on Christians, but I think we as people have just a real short rearview mirror. We don't remember, well, God, where are you? Where have I always been? Right. Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, remember that time you showed up in 2005 and 2014 and 2000? Yeah. Oh, my gosh, I remember all those times that in the midst of things you were there.
That's that footprints in the sand that many people have read or seen. Where were you, Lord, when there was only a pair of footsteps in the sand where before that there was two sets, if you will, and He says, that's when I was carrying you or whatever. Another thing that I did point out to some of the students, and I said, I've had some friends that I usually qualify when I tell somebody that I'm not sure where they stand when it comes to prayer. And I said, hey, I just want you to know when I say I'm going to pray for you, that does not mean I'm in a position that I think I'm better than you or that you need my prayers, even though we as Christians, hey, I would say, hey, I need prayer. But somebody that's maybe outside the circle. And I was telling this to the students that, like, when I tell somebody I'm going to pray for them, I want them to know that's from the sincerity of my heart. It's really demonstrating that I care for them, that I'm going to talk to a sovereign God. But I always want to point out that doesn't mean I think I'm any better or you need my prayer, so I'm going to pray for you. Because I had some friends that say, who do you think you are that you're going to pray for me? And I this was many years ago, and then I explained. I said, oh, I'm not doing this from a position of superiority. Now, in a sense, hey, I know God of the sovereign universe, so I feel really good about that, but never with the intent that I think I'm any better or God's going to just hear my prayers because I'm so super spiritual. He would hear your prayers equally, and he does care equally. And so I try to always help level the ground, if you will, just so they don't feel like I think I'm better than them. Because I've had a couple of people that really thought that, and I was like, really?
I think we naturally do that as human beings because we're kind of performance wired. And so, you know, when we hear somebody pray, you know, and they're good. I mean, they get, you know, they got all the words. You know, there's a hedge of protection and there's, you know, Jehovah Jireh and there's all these things. And when they pray this, you're like, wow, that guy, he can pray. You know, and we suddenly in our minds kind of build up this hierarchy of, you know, well, he's really good. I'm just pretty good, you know, but boy, I'll learn those words one day and I'll be batting, raise my batting average. And we really do that. And what we don't understand is, I liken it to this. Prayer is like we all got to go to the cell phone store and get the newest, fastest cell phone, and we all have the exact same plan with the exact same connection speed. We all have that. Yeah. Whether you're this person or you're that person, whether you make $1 million a year or you're just eking by on food stamps, whether you have been to seminary and you have a theological degree and a PhD, or whether you are just in your first Bible study, no matter who you are and where you are on the spectrum, you have the same connection speed that I have. And listen, it's not dial-up. It's not like you're like, bong, bong, you know, trying to connect to God, and you're like, I didn't get through again. You know, all of us, when we cry out to Almighty God, He answers. He hears us. Now, sometimes His answers are yes, sometimes His answers are no, and sometimes His answers are maybe. Sometimes His answers are just wait and be still. Those ones are oftentimes very frustrating. But I think what we need to understand is all of us can pray. Now, when I ask somebody for prayer, it's not because I think that they're more spiritual. It's not because I think that they're more able to pray or adept at prayer. I ask them because I trust that they'll pray. I trust that they'll actually do it. Because, and this is something that I think we do have to address when we talk about prayer, is that as Christians, we need to repent of the fact that oftentimes I'll pray for you has been code for, I need to get out of here. or I don't want to talk anymore about the difficult thing you're talking about. And I think we've all done it. You know, somebody's sharing their what they're struggling with and how hard it is and this and that. And all these things are coming. And you're kind of like, oh, my gosh, this guy just, you know, he kind of just hit me with this. And you don't know what to do. You know, well, I'll pray for you, brother. And then we kind of go away. And, you know, the marker for me when I ask people for prayer is, you know, when I hear back from them and they say, hey, I just prayed for you again. Hey, I just prayed for you again.
Yeah, how did it turn out? Because they're still engaged.
Yeah, you know, and I don't even need like the how did it turn out. But, you know, I love when people all of a sudden are like, hey, I just prayed for you. Hey, I just prayed again. And I know that makes a huge, huge difference. I had a person who was confiding in me some things that were going on in the next day. And this is where I think like text messaging is so good. You know, it allows us to be able to have a kind of quick reach out and let somebody know that we're there for them without having to, like, you know, just jump into their world and interrupt what's going on. But, you know, you just send a quick text message. Hey, I just prayed for you again, and I'm continuing to pray for you. You know, and that person reached back, and they're like, wow, thank you so much. Yeah. You know, because a lot of times we think it's kind of like a one and done. You prayed for me last night. Maybe you'll pray for me again. I'm not sure, but that was kind of the extent of it. So prayer is something that all of us can do, all of us together. When we ask for prayer, it's not because we're not good at praying. It's because we know that there's strength in numbers when we pray. There's strength in volume of voice that is reaching up and asking and petitioning God for this thing. And throughout the Bible and throughout history, we see amazing things happen when that occurs. Right. It's interesting. I think it was Queen Mary of Scots, a Bloody Mary. Oh, I can't remember for the life of me the name of the pastor. It'll come to me later, like in the middle of the night when I'm trying to sleep. But she said, John Knox, she said, I fear the prayers of John Knox more than all the armies of the earth. Because there was a track record of him praying and God listening. And even though she didn't believe the same things that John Knox believed, she believed that that prayer was awfully powerful. Yeah. And John Knox would say, I am but a commoner with a common voice who talks to the uncommon. And so I think we all need to realize that we can all pray. Every single one of us, no matter who you are, can reach out and to call upon God. If that's not true, then what happens when we have that salvation moment, when we cry out to God? Is he listening, not listening? Is it kind of, you know, well, maybe. No, he's always listening. He's omnipresent. He's omniscient. He's always listening. The other thing I think to what you said is that prayer is, and I already kind of touched on in the beginning just a little bit, prayer is a deep sense of compassion. And sometimes, and we really do need to be honest about this, sometimes when people are really hurting, compassion is offensive because they know they need it, they know they want it, but they don't want to need it and don't want to want it. You know what I mean? And I think that's why sometimes it's so hard to ask for prayer, is because we come and prayer is admitting that I'm weak. Prayer is admitting that I don't have it together. Prayer is admitting that somebody, someone who I've never seen before, knows better than I do and can accommodate my needs better than I ever could. Prayer is admitting to the people around me that I ask prayer for that I don't have it all figured out, that I don't have it all together.
I wonder, too, if this is harder for men.
You know what? I think that sometimes asking for prayer is much harder for men. This is also what I find, and I pick on my own tribe often. Prayer is hard for pastors, asking for prayer, because so much of a congregation wants to say that the pastor has it all together, and the pastor has to pretend like he has it all together, and the pastor has to look as though he has it all together. Don't you know everybody comes to the pastor to receive prayer? I don't say this to pat my own back, but you know, we had a meeting the other night with all our leaders in the church. And I didn't pray once. In fact, there was a moment where we took prayer requests, and one of the guys said had something very difficult happening in his life. And the guy next to him was the guy who led the prayer. Mm-hmm. And I didn't. I purposely kept quiet because I want other people to pray. Right. I'm more than willing and in every place to pray. But I also want to, in every place, to empower other people to pray, to dismantle this idea that I'm the only one who can pray, that somehow my prayers have a strength that other people's don't. Because listen, I struggle too. I struggle to admit my weakness. I struggle to ask for prayer because I have to admit then that, gosh, I don't have this thing all together. I don't have this thing nailed over here that you think I have nailed. Mm-hmm. And sometimes as a pastor, it's dangerous. I mean, it's dangerous to how people see you. I mean, if you go, boy, I just wish you'd pray for me about my relationship with God. I mean, you know the things that go through people's minds? Yeah. They're like, oh, gosh, what's going on?
Yeah, or pray for my marriage. It's like,
yeah,
oh,
pray
wow.
for my marriage, or pray that God speaks to me through his word. Well, I thought as a pastor, God always spoke to you through his word. There are places where we allow our pride to get in the way. And listen, isn't that so crazy? And so I'm using myself. I'm more than willing to be the sacrificial lamb here on this for honesty's sake. And I hope some people out there are listening to this and they'll grab a hold of this, because I think we need to be honest about this. It is really crazy. It is really short-sighted and it's really just offensive that I would be afraid that I might diminish how I look in front of some person, you know, i.e. not ask for you to pray for my marriage, not ask for you to pray for my hearing God's voice, not ask for you to pray for, I would bow before that and not bow before the God of the universe. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's crazy. If I asked you, Mark, if I said, hey, Mark, right now I just need for you to pray for me so that I hear God's voice clearly, I'm asking you to help me to pray for me so that I can hear God's voice open up to me, because maybe I'm in a season where it's been hard to hear and I desperately need to hear it. We should feel so bold and courageous in asking for those kinds of things, but we don't, because immediately we begin to judge one another on those things. And so I think we have to really be careful of that. So three things, I think, is number one, we all have the same connection to God. There's nobody who has a better or worse one. We all can pray. We all have a voice. If you have a voice, you can pray. Just like Jesus said, anybody got ears? Let them hear. And I think Jesus would say, anybody got lips? Okay, pray. You got a voice? I mean, in fact, Jesus in Matthew chapter 6, what does he say? And when you pray. Yeah. He didn't say if you pray. He didn't say any of that. He said, for me, prayer is normal. Prayer is as normal as eating. It's as normal as walking. It's as normal as talking. It's as normal as all those things. So every single one of us can pray. Every single one of us can pray. And I'm going to be honest with you. I bet you the people that we think can't pray are probably the best people to pray because they're humble. The second thing is, I think that prayer is a deep sense of compassion. I think that when we pray for people, even people of different faiths who don't quite understand what we're doing, it doesn't matter because we understand what we're doing. It's our faith. And sometimes we need that. I remember a pastor who told me one time that he was going through what he called the dark night of the soul. Things were really difficult. And he said, in that moment, I just needed my wife to lay her hands on me to pray for me so I could be upheld by her faith. Hmm. And so prayer is compassion. The third thing I would say, three points, this is pastoral. Compassion.
And Jason came with no notes and didn't know what today's topic was going to be. So.
The last thing I think is that prayer is courageous. I think we need to be courageously honest in asking for prayer, in petitioning. I think that we need to have courage. So much of our prayers are lost for a lack of courage. We need to be courageous. If you're hurting right now, friends, be courageous and ask somebody to pray for you. If you're a pastor and you haven't heard God's voice in a while, be courageous and ask somebody. Forget your pastoral piece. Ask for prayer so you can hear God's voice, because you can't be a good pastor without hearing God's voice. If you're a mom and you need to hear God's voice and you need prayer because you're stressed out, you're just at the end of yourself, ask for prayer. Stop trying to make the world believe you're the best mom in the world. Instead, be the best mom in the world you can by asking God to help you do it. In short, be courageous in asking for prayer so we all can connect to God the same. We need to be compassionate. We need to see prayer as a form of compassion. And we need to be courageous in our prayer.
Hmm. And with that said, how about closing out our time in prayer for those that are tuned in, those that are senior saints that have prayed their whole lives, to maybe the baby Christians, the new Christians that are just learning to pray, to that skeptic or somebody that's tuned in that's captivated by this conversation and prayer is a foreign concept to them?
Yeah. Oh, Father, we thank you that you've given us this voice. You say that the words that we speak, your words do not return void, that your words always accomplish the thing that they were sent forth to do. And Father, those are a response to you hearing our words. Lord, we just lift up our voices to you and we pray. We pray from the deepest parts of our hearts and our souls, asking that you would hear us, trusting that you do hear us, knowing that not only do you hear us, but that you do answer us. Mm. And Father, we pray out of the great love in which you loved, in love to other people, in great compassion, because we know the greatest place that we could bring somebody to is before you. Father, I've been so humbled in the last months to think of the fact that I can love somebody, but at the end of the day, you love them way more than I do. And so why wouldn't I bring them to the person who loves them the most? And Father, I pray right now for all of us that we would be courageous in our prayers, that we would admit the places where we're weak, where we're fearful, where we're broken, and we would pray and ask for your Spirit to come in and do a mighty work, as you promised that you want to do in all of us, that we would live closer to being the new creation that you created us to be and farther away from the broken thing that we once were. And Father, the first step in doing that is coming before you and admitting all the places that we need you to work, the places we need you to fix, and the places where we need to feel your presence. And so, Father, we just want to pray to you with great courage and boldness because we believe who you are. Amen.
And all of God's people said amen.
Yeah.
Well, don't let yesterday, the National Day of Prayer, just be a one-day-a-year thing. Pray each and every day, multiple times throughout the day. God loves you. He cares for you. He loves to hear from you, and he'll speak words of life and hope and mercy and grace back to you. So listen and be attentive and be conscientious that he cares. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.